ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, text number 28. Shukla Prakasa Bhuyishta,
Shukla Prakasa Bhuyishta,
Lokana Apnoti Karhichit,
Lokana Apnoti Karhichit,
Doko Darkan Kriyayasam,
Doko Darkan Kriyayasam,
Shukla Prakasha Bhuyishta, Lokana Apnoti Karhichit, Duko Darkan Kriyayasam, Tamaso Kotam Kvachit, Shuklat Prakashak Bhuyishta, Lokana Apnoti Karhichit, Duko Darkan Kriyayasam, Tamaso Kotkatam Kvachit, Shuklat, by goodness, Prakasha, by illumination, Bhuyishtam, characterized, Lokan, planets, Apnoti, achieves, Kahichit, sometimes. Dukkha, distress, Udarkan, having as the end result, Kriyayasan, full of laborious activities, Tamaha, darkness, Shoka, in lamentation, Udgatam, abounding, Kvachit, sometimes. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness act piously according to Vedic injunctions. Thus they are elevated to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion engage in various types of productive activities in the planetary systems where human beings live. Similarly, those influenced by the mode of darkness are subjected to various types of misery and live in the animal kingdom. Purport. There are three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. Those influenced by the mode of goodness are given places in the upper planetary systems, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka and Maharloka. Those influenced by the mode of passion are given places in the Buraloka and Buvaraloka. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance are given places in Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Tala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, or the animal kingdom. Qualitatively, the living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of his forgetfulness, he gets different bodies in different planetary systems. At the present moment, human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion. And consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. In Bhagavad Gita, such activities are described as ugra karma. That is, distressful activities. Those who utilize the energies of the worker are called capitalists. And those who actually perform the work are called laborers. In actuality, they are both capitalists. And the workers are in the mode of passion and ignorance. The result is that there is always a distressful situation. In contrast to these men are those influenced by the mode of goodness, the karmis and jnanis. The karmis, under the direction of Vedic instructions, try to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. The jnanis try to merge into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord. And this way, all classes of living entities in various species of life are existing within this material world. This explains superior and inferior life forms within the material world. Om Agyam Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadatisvara Padantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum lam gayate gadim yat kripa tamam bande shri gurum dinatayam. So, three types of living entities in general. Three types of living entities. Three locations where they live. And so therefore, levels of, or shall we say, yeah, levels of qualification, levels of classification. And so we have a broad framework within which to classify the living entities in material existence, right? And there's a fourth, I guess, qualification, classification that is implied, although not mentioned here, and that is that those who are in the material world, but not of the material world. The transcendentalists, the devotees, in other words. And so, there are those who are strongly influenced by the mode of ignorance, and they live in the lower planetary systems. Or, as is mentioned in the purport, and as mentioned in the verse, they're in the animal species. In the animal species. Then there are those who are in the human species. The human species. And usually the human species is predominated by the mode of passion, which is what we see in modern society. Generally speaking, the activities of those in the mode of ignorance is all distress. Right? In the mode of passion, there's a certain amount of happiness from the achievement of one's desires, which requires a lot of effort, to do things. But generally speaking, that effort produces also distress as a symptom of the mode of passion. We work very hard for something, we get it, and then we discover that all of the work was really a waste of time because what we got didn't make us happy. There's a temporary feeling of satisfaction or happiness, but as Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that happiness is the enemy of the living entity, because it's not really happiness at all. It's just a relief from the suffering. And then there's the mode of goodness, which is also characterized by work, but the work is regulated, it is structured, it has a goal, and the goal is elevation to the higher planetary systems, cultivation of knowledge, cultivation of good qualities. What is it? Samo tamas tama socham chantim arjimam eva cha. The symptoms of a brahmana. These are the qualities cultivated by the brahmanas. Sense control. Equanimity. Samo tamas tapa. Austerity. The performance of austerities. Socham. Cleanliness. Samo tamas tapa socham. Jnanam. Now what is it? What's the next line? Samaldamastapasocham. Chantir. Arjavam. Eva cha. Tolerance, isn't it? Chanti is to be tolerant. Arjavam is to live simply. Astikyam means following Vedic culture. So, jnanam. The pursuit of knowledge. A learned person is considered in Vedic culture more elevated, more important, more respectable than somebody who's got a lot of money or has accumulated a lot of wealth. Because happiness in wealth means what? In due course of time, misery, because you lose it, right? You lose it. And the problem with wealth, facility, power, influence, these are intoxicating. Mode of passion is, the mode of ignorance is pretty much all intoxication. And so the consciousness of the living entity is very much is confused. Doesn't really know what's going on. And this is symptomatic of the living entity in the mode of ignorance, in the animal species. Don't really know what's going on. and humans also, influenced strongly by the mode of ignorance. They just don't know what's going on, and they engage in activities that are not good for them. Whereas the mode of goodness, the cultivation of knowledge is valued. And of course, the mode of goodness is not that much different from the transcendental mode of Shuddhasattva, or the mode of goodness engaged in the purification of the mind and the senses so that one understands one's spiritual identity and one can then act on that platform of understanding. This is real knowledge, real learning. That's why it's made with Mahajana Jaini Gatasa Panta, that we should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, the great devotees, because the activities of the devotees are the emblem of goodness, a pure goodness. Not goodness for the in pursuit of some material benefit or some material wealth or some material knowledge, but rather an understanding of one's identity, a real understanding, a pure and clear understanding of one's real identity, and then action based on that understanding. Just like Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, that where is it? Qualitatively, right, in quality, right? The living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's inspiring, right? We're the same as God, right? Qualitatively, but quantitatively we are also very, very small. Anu, is that right? Anu. Krishna is Vibhu, big, and we are small. Qualitatively the same, but very, very small part. And so coming to that understanding, coming to that realization, is considered to be the most valuable achievement. Well, you know, when Srila Prabhupada moved into 26 Second Avenue, it was previously a gift shop, right? And it had on the storefront matchless gifts, right? Matchless gifts. So the gift of transcendental knowledge is a matchless gift. It's considered to be the most valuable. And so the mode of goodness is meant for cultivating knowledge. And why the process of bhakti has as its foundation, as its basis, the cultivation of goodness, right? Rise early, perform one's sadhana, study the scripture, you know, develop a clear conception of one's identity as being qualitatively one with God, right? And a proper understanding of what that identity means. It means one is a servant. The intrinsic quality of the spirit soul is to be a servant. And so, you know, this quality of goodness is extremely important. And why Krishna encourages the Varnashram system, actually, the Varnashram system is meant to basically bring individuals to the level of, or to the, rise up to the position of a brahmana, right? And gradually. And it's interesting. Srila Prabhupada mentions Varnashram, but in his description of what the Varnashram system is, Prabhupada talks about rising early, going to Mangalarti, doing your puja, chanting your rounds, right? So, again, elevation to Krishna consciousness is really the purpose of the mode of goodness. And so the devotee is the emblem of, or shall we say, the aspiring devotee who is steady in their practice of Krishna consciousness is an emblem of goodness. Certainly in their practice of sadhana, regulated activities, and even then, their service is also a controlled and controlled and steady practice. Because the practice of Krishna consciousness is we perform our activities, but we perform those activities as a servant. And the notion of service is, I'm doing this as a representative of Krishna, as a servant of Krishna, right? And with detachment for the result, right? Not attached to the result, because that's not so easy to give up, right? We see the devotees in the marathon. We had some interesting dynamics going on in the marathon, right? Where one devotee would wait until another devotee came back, and then they'd have a look at their score to see what they'd done. And if they hadn't done as much, then they would go back out and do some more. And then they got a shock when they realised how competitive they were. At least the one who was being beaten anyway. But generally a devotee, you know, especially, and they get upset. They get upset when they get beaten, or B, when they realise how competitive they are, and then they realise, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, and then they want to give it up altogether. I'm not going to do this anymore. So, you know, a devotee generally, or a transcendentalist, is attached to doing the duty, but not attached to the result. And so whatever happens, whatever comes, right? We still do our duty. Whatever comes, it's okay. Win one day, lose the next. Right? And that's the nature of, what is it? Jaya jaya labha labho. There's a second, the devotee, Krishna's encouraging Arjuna, fight. Regardless of whether there's victory or defeat, whether you get what you want or you don't get what you want. And because that's the nature of life. And so the action of one who's acting in the mode of goodness, but actually on the transcendental platform, is detached from the results of their activities. Or we should be detached. We're cultivating detachment. Because the ultimate goal is that the greatest satisfaction is not in getting, you know, one day you're number one. Right? Have you experienced that? Dwija, number one? Most of the time he's number one. Right? But some days he's not. How do you feel? It's okay. It doesn't matter. Somebody else will come along and beat you, so-called beat you. Right? But the real satisfaction is rendering the service and giving the result to Krishna. This is karma yoga. Naishkam karma yoga. Because here Prabhupada mentions karma yoga for the karma yogis and the gyanis of the mode of goodness. Interesting, isn't it? You know, those who perform the karma yoga are performing activities designed to elevate them to the planets of the demigods. And the jnanis are aspiring to become one with the personality of Godhead in his impersonal feature. In contrast to these men, those influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, are the karmis and jnanis, those in the mode of goodness. Now, normally we would think the karmis are in the mode of passion. That's what we describe the karmis as usually. But here Prabhupada's using the term karmis and jnanis, those who follow or influenced by the mode of goodness because they follow the prescriptions described within the Vedas for elevation to the heavenly planets. But a devotee is not concerned about that. That's interesting. A devotee doesn't mind whether he goes to heaven or hell. Right? Prabhupada says. Doesn't mind. So long as he can do service. And that he can offer that service to Krishna. That's the greatest satisfaction. A devotee can work hard to earn thousands and thousands, if not millions of dollars. And his satisfaction is not in, you know, getting the millions of dollars, but the satisfaction is giving it to Krishna, because he knows who it belongs to. He knows who it belongs to. It's like, you know, the teller in the bank is counting lots of money. He's got to keep track of it all because, you know, if his books don't balance at the end of the day, he's in trouble. Because the money belongs not to him, but to Westpac or whoever. So devotees like that, he understands all of the facility. Idam Krishnaya Idam Namama. This is Krishna's, it's not mine. And so his satisfaction, and great satisfaction, is achieved in working despite success, despite failure, offering the results to the Lord and knowing who the real proprietor is. You know, in one sense, we're the proprietor. You know, there was a time when in the Brahmacharya Ashram, they would just throw everybody's clothes together and wash them all together, and then you just, when you wanted to wear something, you just came and pulled something out of the communal pile of washing. Well, this is why devotees would sometimes be wearing odd socks and clothes that didn't fit. This is considered a great degree of renunciation. But somewhat impersonal, you know, because not all clothes fit all bodies, right? You know, and Prabhupada gave the example, you know, everything belongs to Krishna, but this is my watch, and if you try to take it, I'll fight you for it. So, you know, on one hand, yes, everything, what is it, Idam? Right? Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But also, he allots certain quota. There's a certain quota provided for each person. So each one of us has a certain amount of facility. So the devotee understands. And this is the cultivation of knowledge, why the devotees are considered to be the topmost, because the first principle of action for a devotee is that I'm doing this for Krishna. What is it? Yat karosi yat asnasi yat jahosi tadasi yat. Everything ultimate, madha pranam, is made as an offering to Krishna. This is a very simple piece of understanding, right? But it is way over and beyond every form of understanding of knowledge, cultivation of knowledge. This understanding. What is it? Jivera Svarupa Hoy. Nityala Krishna Das, is that right? Yeah. Or Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Ara Sava Pritya. Krishna is the controller, I am his servant. So the mode of goodness is utilized by the devotees, not for elevation to the heavenly planets, because a devotee doesn't mind where he goes, so long as he can act as a servant. That's the most satisfying activity, to be a servant. And you know, that depends on sadhana. The sadhya is to come to that realization. That's the perfection. And the way we achieve that perfection is by the performance of sadhana. And so, we see in the lives of the devotees this steady, almost like clockwork, sadhana process. One rises early in the morning, one performs one's spiritual duties, but all to reinforce this. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance really don't know what they're doing. And you see that in the behaviour of the animals. And you see that in the behaviour of the men and women who behave like animals. Consciousness is similar. Then there are those in the mode of goodness, those in the mode of passion, working very hard. And you know, that one of the surprising features of the lockdown as a consequence of the coronavirus is that now we're not polluting the planet, right? And so there's a lot of fresh air. And in places, Dhritaraj was telling me, in China, they're seeing animals on the streets of the cities, deer and rabbits and so forth, which they normally never see. We'll see kangaroos in the main street of in Bourke Street soon. Chitripa shared some pictures on Facebook yesterday from a photographer who went into town. Right. Did you see those pictures? Place is empty. Right. Soon there'll be grass growing up through the cracks in the sidewalk. And that's what will happen. You know, the animals will come back. The air is clean. The water is becoming clean. In at least in the Jamuna. Did you see those pictures of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj? Of course, you know, who knows what other pathogens are still in the water, right? You can't. But it's amazing how within just a short period of time in China, there are places where normally at this point in time, you know, we're very polluted. Now there's blue skies. So we see how our passionate activities create distress for us. Pollute everything, we get sick. When we arrived in Delhi in March, the pollution index was 270. Right. You know what's good? What's the level of pollution that's appropriate for human beings to live in is between 1 and 50. Right. And then on the Saturday night it rained. And so, you know, with the rain, everything, the dust and everything, it got calmed down. So it came down to 90. And you could feel it. You know, from 270 down to 90 is quite, it's like, oh, I can breathe. But But actually, that's actually still polluted. 1 to 50 is what it should be. And you know, Delhi's like that all the time, pretty much. Except now, because there's a lockdown, skies are clear. So this is mode of passion. Mode of passion creates distress, pollution, stress, what's the word? When there's too many people in one place.
Congestion.
Congestion, yes, congestion. Congestion in your lungs, right? Can't breathe. So, the living entity is wandering. Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka. Oh, up and down and around and around. Brahmanda, Bhumite, Konya, Bhagavanaji. But if one's fortunate, one comes into contact with the devotees whose activities are similar to everybody else's. Even, you know, so we see devotees working very hard, just like the Karnis, or those, the men in the mode of passion. But their purpose is very different. And the devotee's life is not just working hard, but also there's a great deal of effort and endeavor to make progress in one's spiritual life. The main efforts of the devotees are to make advancement in spiritual understanding. This is a real cultivation of knowledge. It's even beyond the mode of goodness. Because those as described here, influenced by the mode of goodness, are looking to be elevated to the heavenly planets. Whereas a devotee is able to perform his service to Krishna regardless of where he is. And as a consequence, the devotee then converts that place into a place of transcendence. Right? So, you know, ostensibly, the temple is in Albert Park. Externally, that's what it appears to be. But actually, the activities that take place in this how many blocks of land are here? 197 to 205. What's that? 197, 199. 201? 203. Is that right? Yeah. How many is that? 4 or 5? 197? 199? 201? 203? 4 blocks. Right? Donk, donk, donk. 4 there and 4 at the back. If you were looking at, if you look at the normal size of a block of land around here. No. So, you know, it's 197 Dank Street, but Prabhupada says this is not Melbourne, this is the spiritual world, right? This is Vrindavan. Right? This is Vrindavan. So devotees work hard, but also rise early, right? And work hard on their spiritual practice. Right? Chant Hare Krishna, worship the deity, honor the spiritual master, Krishna's representative, honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead, study his literature to keep that understanding of aham brahmasmi. Right? I am qualitatively one with God, but also dasosmi, I'm a servant. This is the real, this is the pinnacle of knowledge, actually, to understand these very simple things, not very complicated actually, that I'm a servant of Krishna. They're not very complicated. So So, we don't mind whether we're in Brahmaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, or even Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Tala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala. Living in Melbourne is almost like being in the lower planetary system sometimes. And Melbourne is a nice city, you know, compared to some. Compared to some places. It's very nice now, actually, because there's nobody in it. But for the devotee, it doesn't matter, actually. And you know, we're seeing it, how... And you know, that's why the association of the devotees is so important. Because in that association, we learn how to focus on this pursuit of knowledge. But the pursuit of knowledge, in understanding a very simple fact, very simple fact, that yes, we're qualitatively one with the Lord, but also Anu, very small, and that the nature of that identity is as a servant. You know, we see Krishna in his relationship with Arjuna. He's serving the devotee, even Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but what is he? Who is he appearing as? He's appearing as a devotee, as a servant. And so the position of a servant is so attractive to Krishna that he appears in his incarnation, where he's solely dedicated to being a servant, right? Not being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which must also be nice, right? But even he wants to be a servant, because that the satisfaction, Krishna was attracted to the mood of Srimati Radharani. What is it that she's experiencing, right? Krishna is the all attractive, but even he's attracted to the mood of service that's characterized in the behavior of a devotee. And so in that association, we lose the desire to want to become equal to God in all respects, and we learn to become equal with God in our real position as a servant. And to learn that service attitude, that service mood, is the great benefit of being in the association of the devotees. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Mamohan, have you got the microphone?
You are giving an example of distribution.
Yeah.
So when, you know, when a devotee doing some kind of result-oriented project for Krishna.
Some results-oriented, yes.
And then you are in passion. When the results are not in his favor, then there is no motivation to do the work. Then it's become, you know, you don't want to do that, you are going in ignorance or something.
Yes.
If results come in favor, then it becomes like again passion or more passion. So it is kind of an entangling. Then it's like, why we need to do, you know, and then this is one, and then the
what question. Work?
Yeah, and then question is, Krishna says that if you surrender to me, then these three modes doesn't influence you, and you are working for Krishna, which is a symptom of surrender to Krishna. Still, you are affected with three modes. How to understand this?
How do I understand the fact that we're influenced by the three modes, despite the fact that we're working for Krishna? Well, each one of us is a particular combination of the modes of material nature, right? Or each one of us has influences of the three modes of material nature to a varying degree, depending on the combination. Right? And so that combination of the modes of material nature is something that affects everybody, and it's called our conditioned state. Right? And but what we do is we take that conditioned state, and that may, you know, that manifests in three, as it's mentioned here, three basic types of people. Or even four actually, because we have our Sudras, we have our Vaishyas, we have our Kshatriyas, and we have our Brahmanas, right? Which is more or less predominantly mode of goodness, predominantly passion, predominantly mixed, and predominantly ignorant, right? But we're all mixed up, as you know, in the Kali Yuga especially, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, everybody's pretty much mixed up and heavily contaminated by the mode of ignorance. So what we do as devotees is we rise early and we act pretty much on the Brahminical platform, right? Mangalati. No, what do we do first? What's the first thing you do?
Shower.
Before that?
Get out of bed.
But then you go and clean your teeth. You know, then you have a shower. Then after that, you know, in the deity worship process, what do you do? What do you do, Gopa?
The deity worship.
Yeah, what do you do? What's the first thing you do?
Cleanse the body and the
non-physical touch and the mind. Shuddha-buddhi, right? Buddha-shuddhi. Yeah, buddha-shuddhi. It's a long time since I've done it, obviously. What is it? Shuddha?
Buddha-shuddhi.
Buddha-shuddhi, yeah, which means purify everything. And what's the meditation? What's that meditation ultimately? What is it? I'm a servant of Krishna. Yeah, this is. And of course, you know, we may not do that. Purificatory. It's a part of achamana, which is purifying all of the ingredients that we're using to serve Krishna. But this is a mentality. And we do that basically. We get up and we go for Mangalarti, then we chant Hare Krishna. Right? Chanting Hare Krishna is to reinforce this understanding that I'm a servant. Right? So, but then we need to, you know, we've done all of those things. We're hearing the philosophy. We're taking prasadam. That's all pretty much our purification of our consciousness, right? Then we have to go to work, right? And that work will be different for each one of us, depending on the modes of nature that we've acquired, accumulated. Right? And so, and as Krishna said to Arjuna, you will act. And each one of us will act. So, that action, that propensity to act will be determined somewhat by our conditioning, a lot by our conditioning. And so, we should, and we do, encourage devotees to work according to their nature, because that's what they've acquired. But because we've cultivated that understanding of I'm not this body, you know, aham brahmasmi dasosmi, I'm spiritual by nature and I'm a servant, then the propensity to act will be performed in such a way so that whatever it is that we do it yat karoshi yat asnasi yat jahosi didasi yat pasyasi kunteya, what is it? Tarapanam. It's done as an offering to Krishna, right? So that then brings us to the point of Brahma Buddha, right? This is where Prabhupada said, this is where devotional service starts, right? Where we understand that I'm not the body and that I'm doing it for Krishna, regardless of however you're influenced, right? You do it for Krishna and you offer it all to Krishna. So that elevates us very quickly. This is why we have our sadhana. So, there is still the influence of the material energy in the material world. And so, you know, even we see it in a devotee like Arjuna, you know, where the influence of the most material nature is strong, it's powerful, right? And so, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of being on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you know, on the boat of, there's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, first or second chapter of the first canto, that verse where the sages of Dhammasaranya are praising Suta Goswami, and they say, we are fortunate to have your association. You are like the captain of the ship, right? And on this boat, we have the favourable breezes, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. And a spiritual master is the captain of the ship who knows how to apply the instructions so that the boat, you know, it's one thing for the captain of a ship to know how to sail the ship, you know, he's read the books, but he has to know how to apply that learning, just like, you know, nobody's going to want to go to a surgeon who's only read the books and hasn't done any practice, right? So you know, the body, the material body, is considered to be like a boat. The favourable breezes are the instructions of the Vedas, but how to apply them is given to us in the instructions of the spiritual master, right? And so we follow the order of the spiritual master because the spiritual master is able to see our psychophysical, is able to understand us and then know how, due to our conditioning, how we should be engaged, right? And so we apply that process, but sometimes the material energy is, the waves of the material energy hit the boat, right? Even threaten us to knock us off. So we have to hang on for dear life. And we stick as much as we can to the orders of, you know, the instructions of the Vedas, and we apply them according to the instructions of the spiritual master. But still, despite doing that, there are some days that are less transcendental than others, right? Because of our conditioning. We're conditioned. Now, that doesn't diminish the potency of devotional practice. And so we stick to the practice, even though some days our consciousness is awash, you know, with the modes of material nature. We still stick to it. Because in practice, it's still bhakti, it's still devotional service, but it's just not mature. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a mango. A mango is a mango even if it's not ripe. Right? In fact, in some, they make a very, very, they make pickle, don't they, out of unripe mango?
Yeah.
Which is considered to be a delicacy. Or at least, you know. So, it's still mango, although it's unripe mango. And still tasty, right? So even our devotional practice, if it's, it may not be mature in that we're always floating, you know, Satchitananda. And we're all looking for Ananda. Right? Everybody's looking for Ananda. You know, unfortunately, they're looking for the Ananda in the wrong place. Or what they think is Ananda is actually near Ananda. Or what we think is Ananda is near Ananda. So, because we're still somewhat conditioned, and especially if we're influenced by the mode of passion, then when we don't get what we want, even in our devotional service, we become discouraged. We're not number one. We like it when everybody goes, Jai. You know, the last name we read on the list is Dvija Pitambara. And Dvija Pitambara is thinking, yes, I'm number one. And everybody else is thinking, how come he's number one? Whereas, you know, if you've been around for a while, there have been many number ones. Even you might have been number one once. And you know, I've seen this actually, experienced it myself. You know, you may be number one for a while, but you eventually you won't be. Right? But if you're attached to being, you know, anything really in the material world, be prepared, you know, to have whatever that level of supremacy is taken away from you at some point in time. Well, it's going to be taken away. Guaranteed. Somebody else is going to come along and push you off of number one. So, and so, you know, right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Titikshava, right? Situshna sukadukadaha agama payano just tongues to tick. One has to be tolerant because it's life is just all. It's like the waves on the ocean. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. One day you'll be successful, the next day you won't. But the success of a devotee is to keep in the mood of a servant. That's success. And keep offering everything to Krishna. And you know, we'll be successful and we'll have sukha-dukha. Happiness and distress, sukha dukkha same. And so Krishna says, sukha dukkha same kritva. Right? You should act. Kritva means to act. right? Action. Sama, equal in sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress. So, our measure of success is in regular sadhana and regular application to our duty, to the performance of our service, whatever it might be. And being detached from the result, we still apply ourselves as enthusiastically and as vigorously, but the Bhagavad Gita, especially third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is focused on performing in the various sections. There's this emphasis on performing the action, but not having a right to the results of those activities. Right? This is the message of a good part of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which I have just happened to be listening to at the moment. And so therefore, you know, perform your duty, but don't be attached to the results, because the results will be mixed, always. Right? And we know that Krishna, you know, that the service to Krishna will always be victorious, so we stick to that. Although sometimes it's hard to work out what Krishna's plan is. Right? Because everything looks like a disaster. Right? Right? At the moment, it all looks like a disaster. But we know that Krishna must have a plan. It may not be immediately obvious to us. And so, you know, the devotee looks at circumstances more in terms of understanding Krishna's plan rather than, you know, why did Krishna allow that to happen? Huh? What's going on? Huh? More the devotee's looking, okay, there must be something positive in all of this. What is it? Not, you know, how much of a disaster it is. Because you can easily get overwhelmed by what's going on in the material world and become confused and distressed and again be in ignorance, right? Especially if one's in a mode of passion, because then the mode of passion means we want results and we become happy by the results that we accumulate, right? But the problem with that is when it's taken away, which in due course of time it will, then you become distressed. This is a symptom of the mode of passion, is ultimately you become distressed. So the mode of goodness is more just plug away, plug away, plug away. Huh? How many plates of Vishanam are we distributing at the moment? Okay. Because somebody's asking if we can provide 200 plates of Vishanam a day.
Someone is asking, increase to 200.
If we can provide 200 plates.
We can.
Yeah, I think we could. They'll do the distribution.
Gradually
it's in North Melbourne, I think, also, northern suburb.
Oh, not in Port Phillip?
No.
And it's a detention centre or something like that.
Sorry?
200 in one place? Or?
200 in one place, yeah.
Okay.
I'll check it out further. Yeah. But we could do it, couldn't we?
We can do it.
If we can cook 20 plates of prasadam, we can cook 200. That's not a big deal.
More.
Yes. And they may even provide the funds for the...
Then we can...
Yeah.
If it's 200 in one place...
Yeah. Any other comments or questions? Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these easily become discouraged.
Yeah.
But, you know, Srila Prabhupada didn't get You know, when you look at all of the things that happened to Srila Prabhupada, his Bhagavad Gita got stolen. So Prabhupada didn't write the Bhagavad Gita once, he wrote it twice. So imagine how big is the Bhagavad Gita? It's quite a big book, right? If somebody stole your book, it's like, woo. The Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. What is it? Kanteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranasyati. I remember on my first trip to India, we went to Bhubaneswar on our ill-fated 32-hour bus trip from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. We went to the temple, right? And so we drove out. Pretty much, it was in the bush. It was in a paddock, and there was nothing there. There was foundations and concrete pillars and stuff. Right? And I was thinking, what have we got a temple out here for? What are we out here for? And Gaugavinda Maharaj was in the hut. There were two huts. And I was thinking, God, this is small time. that was my perspective. Yeah, very young devotee. Young person. But Prabhupada ordained that location and encouraged Gaugavinda Maharaj to build it. And now if you go to that place, it is like a centre. You know, it's a bit like Krishna and Balaram. When Prabhupada was given the land where Krishna and Balaram is, right? There was nothing there. Raman Reddy was just sand. Blocks of land were made of, you know, just sand. Silver sands of Raman Reddy were beautiful out there, actually. When you would go on parikrama in the late 70s, or in the 70s and the 80s, then all of the area out, just like, you walk around the Jamuna, then you come around, it was all just, there was nothing there. And so you would walk on the sands of the paths. It was beautiful. And you know, walking barefoot, and you know how there's in that sand you can see the silver flecks of, I don't know what it is, some silica, you know, it's just sand, so that's why they call them the silver sands. Nowadays it's all asphalt and bricks, and it's actually quite horrible. And you can see how in Kali Yuga the Dharm gets covered over. You know, in those days when you would walk, you could get a sense of Krishna and Balaram playing in the sands and in the fields and everything. And so it was very peaceful. But nowadays, all you get is tractor. It's a tractor town, right? And you get tractors going past, and all this smoke, you know, coming. It's hard to think of Krishna and Balaram when your feet are hurting. And it's just all, you know, the whole thing. So the Radhas were thinking, what are we doing out here? But now go to these places. And Gaugavinda Maharaj, you know, he came to the farm a few times. And I apologize to say, you know, we don't have very much here. You know, it's not very developed. And I said, but we have our plans. And he said to me, he said, keep making plans for Krishna. He said, even if you're just making plans, that's okay. And of course he had the experience. He had developed a project that was ostensibly in the middle of nowhere. But in due course of time, because the national highway is right next to the place, right? It's now, you know, the center of town. So you just don't know. You just don't know. Devotees sometimes joke, you know, I know Yadishrestha says, wherever there's a Hare Krishna temple, buy some land. Because in due course of time, it's going to be more valuable than it is now. Right? You used to be able to buy one of these houses next door was $30,000. Right? When the devotees bought this property, it was $180,000. Can you believe that? And they got an opportunity. There's three houses here that are all pretty much the same, right? And the devotees got an opportunity to buy the three. And it meant they were going to have to borrow another $90,000. And they said, oh, no, too expensive. Because that $180,000 was borrowed from the BBT in LA. And the devotees had to pay it off, right? Had to pay it back. And in those days, income came from selling books, BTGs, and incense. So I guess they figured, gee, that's a lot of incense we're going to have to sell. Because they're just selling it on the street. Right? So. One's circumstances now may not be an indicator of what is to come or what things will be in due course. Okay, Ganaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Guru Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya.